Unprepared to engage Mormon missionaries when they knock on your door? Perhaps the book Mormonism 101 will help. Mormonism 101, published by Baker Book. Available at your favorite Christian bookstore. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue looking at the book Saints, The Standard of Truth. It's a history book published by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in 2018. And as we've been mentioning as we go through our study of this book, and it's not meant to be exhaustive, there are some things that we like about it, and there are some things, of course, that we are concerned about. One of the things that we like about it is certainly it is much more transparent than some histories in the past. But at the same time, there's still a lot that is not included that we feel probably could have been. But then who are we to tell the Mormon Church what to put in their own history books? That's up to them. We're only critiquing what we're finding in here. And we'll also talk about some of the things that are not in this book. But now we have gotten to the point in chapter 40. Beginning on page 481, it tells us that we are now in the time period in Nauvoo when the saints have moved to Nauvoo, Illinois, which, as we mentioned last week, formerly was known as Commerce, Illinois. Thousands of Latter-day Saints have come to this community, and this is where the issue of plural marriage really comes out in full force. It says on page 481 that we're at the date of January 10th, 1843, but I want to begin on page 482 because in this narrative, we are now going to be introduced to the Partridge sisters, Eliza and Emily Partridge. And the reason why I'm pleased, I guess you could say, Eric, that the story of the Partridge sisters is mentioned here is because it shows that I think the church is trying to be as honest as possible. But in doing so, I think what the church has done is shown many of us who are reading this with a critical eye, and we admit we are, that Smith was really a scoundrel.
I think you're right. And the Partridge sisters surprised me that this would actually be in the book because the history of Joseph Smith's polygamy and all of the things that's associated with it, if you're going to pick two that you want to show how dubious Joseph Smith was in the whole affair of marrying other women, I think they show that because, number one, they're sisters, and the Old Testament in the Pentateuch says you're not supposed to marry sisters. Second, you have them getting married to Joseph Smith privately without Emma knowing. And later, Emma decides that she's going to allow Joseph to have multiple wives, and so they do this again. I think this is a very interesting case.
Well, especially since it proves what I think we've been saying for many, many years. You can't talk about the subject of plural marriage as it is related to Mormonism without also talking about all of the lies that had to have been told in order to protect this alleged commandment from God. And this is what bothers me as a Christian. We've been reading in this book that polygamy, plural marriage, was a commandment from God. It was a commandment. It was a commandment. Over and over, they emphasize it was a commandment. And they even try to say, as it was a commandment in the Old Testament, which we've shown that that's not true. It was never a commandment in the Old Testament. But yet, even though it was a commandment from God, look at all the lies that have to be told in order to protect this commandment.
And not just lies, but secrecy, people not talking about it.
Well, let's get on with the story of Emily Partridge, who's mentioned along with her sister at the bottom of page 482 of the book Saints.
It says, as the end of winter approached, a bitter chill still hung in the air while Emily Partridge washed clothes and tended children at the Smith home. For more than 2 years, she and her older sister Eliza had been living and working with the Smiths, not far from where their mother lived with her new husband.
Now, let me stop you there, because one thing you do notice If you allow your daughter or maybe even your wife to come in contact with Joseph Smith, and he either lives in your house for a time or you live in his house for a time, there's probably a good chance you're going to be propositioned by Joseph Smith in order to become a plural wife. And this is one of those cases. These young girls were working in the Smith home, and Joseph Smith is going to proposition them. But what does it say on page 483?
Emily belonged to the Relief Society and talked often with the women around her. Occasionally, she would hear whispers about plural marriage. More than 30 saints had quietly embraced the practice, including two of her stepsisters and one of her stepbrothers. Emily herself knew nothing about it firsthand.
Now let's talk about the Relief Society. The Relief Society was a women's auxiliary that Joseph Smith put together and put his wife Emma in charge. She was the first president of the Relief Society. These women would gather, it sounds like on a weekly basis, and some rumors started circulating about Joseph Smith. And this actually kind of hints to that. Occasionally, Emily would hear whispers about plural marriage. Well, in their book, Mormon Enigma, Emma Hale Smith, the two Mormon authors, Linda King Newell and Valene Tippetts Avery, they talk about the Relief Society. And this is one of the areas when I read their book that really just upset me, because it shows Joseph Smith, I don't know how else to put it, Eric, to being the lying scoundrel that he was. And I've often said, a man who will lie to his wife will lie to anybody. But yet Mormons just kind of gloss over this part of their history. There was a disagreement between Joseph Smith and his wife Emma over some of these rumors about polygamy and Joseph Smith's involvement in it. And at the bottom of page 114 in the book Mormon Enigma, these two Mormon authors write about this.
From her remarks, it appears that Joseph had deflected her anger by explaining that he had neither sanctioned nor participated in John Bennett's spiritual wife doctrine. Eliza Snow's minutes state, quote, Mrs. President said this day was an evil day, that there is much evil in this as in any other place, said she would that the society were pure before God, that she was afraid that under existing circumstances the sisters were not careful enough to expose iniquity. The time had been when charity had covered a multitude of sins, but now it is necessary that sin should be exposed, end quote. Emma said that heinous sins were among us, that much of this iniquity was practiced by some in authority, pretending to be sanctioned by President Joseph Smith. Mrs. President continued by exhorting all who had erred to repent and forsake their sins, said that Satan's forces were against this church, that every saint should be at the post, end quote.
Now, it mentions John Bennett. This is John C. Bennett. At the very beginning of John Bennett's relationship with the Mormons, he was held in a very high regard. Joseph Smith had a lot of trust for John Bennett. But even Saints, the book Saints, talks about John Bennett and what he did. They talk about this expose that he wrote about Joseph Smith that's mentioned in that section that you just read, Eric. On page 478 of the book Saints, it says, around the same time, John Bennett published a book-length expose. Now, this would be around the fall of 1842. A book-length expose of Joseph and the Saints. He also started giving lectures on what he called the secret wife system at Nauvoo, tantalizing audiences with wild rumors he had heard and plenty he had made up himself about Joseph's plural marriages. Now, what's interesting when it mentions John C. Bennett in the book Saints, it does talk about the fact that, yeah, that was a very real thing. And some of what John Bennett was saying was actually correct. Now, getting back to the story of Emily and Eliza Partridge, we look at page 483 towards the bottom. Now the date is March 4th, 1843.
On March 4th, a few days after her 19th birthday, Joseph asked to speak with Emily at the home of Heber Kimball. She set out as soon as she finished work, her mind ready to receive the principle of plural marriage. As expected, Joseph taught it to her and asked if she would be sealed to him. She agreed, and Heber performed the ordinance. 4 days later, her sister Eliza was sealed to Joseph too. The sisters could now talk to each other and share what they understood and felt about the covenants they made.
So here Joseph Smith marries these two sisters, and now we're up to March 8th, because Eliza is married to Joseph Smith 4 days after her sister Emily. And then on page 484, it goes on to say that the saints continue to defend Joseph against the accusations in John Bennett's expose that I mentioned to you earlier. Much of what John had written was embellished or flatly untrue, but his claim that Joseph had married multiple women was correct. And then look at what it says about Joseph Smith's brother.
Unaware of this fact, Hiram Smith and William Law fiercely denied all of John's statements and unwittingly condemned the actions of saints who obediently practiced plural marriage.
So Joseph Smith, he knows what he's doing. He doesn't even tell his brother, Hiram Smith, about this. He doesn't tell his wife, Emma, about this. He remains silent while all these rumors are spreading. And yet what's sad is you have Emma in the Relief Society meeting hearing these rumors and admonishing those listening to her that we need to quench these rumors. And she's talking to some of the very women who are the purpose for those rumors.
On page 484, it continues, as far as the leaders not knowing, it says, once during a council meeting, Smith had barely broached the issue when William interrupted, and William is his brother. If an angel from heaven was to reveal to me that a man should have more than one wife, I would kill him. Now, that's pretty strong language, and yet Joseph could have easily said, hey, guys, let me just tell you, the men that are on the inside, that this is what God has shown me, and we're working this out, but you need to know the truth. But instead, he just lets these guys look like fools.
He not only lets his brother look like a fool, but I would argue, too, he makes his wife look like a fool. Now, I ask you, if you're a Latter-day Saint woman listening to us right now, put yourself in Emma's position. Would you look at your husband as being the virtuous man that many Latter-day Saints tend to think he was? It doesn't sound like he was to me. But yet on the next page, 485, it talks about Brigham Young, because Brigham Young's kind of upset about a lot of what's going on, but it says that both Brigham and his wife, Mary Ann, had come to know through prayer and inspiration that they should practice plural marriage. With Mary Ann's consent, Brigham had been sealed to a woman named Lucy Ann Decker in June 1842, a year after Joseph had first taught him the principle. Lucy had separated from her husband and had young children to care for. Lucy had separated from her husband. We're going to begin tomorrow's show talking about just that.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When sharing your faith with a Latter-day Saint, it helps to know what their church has taught on several basic topics. For this reason, Mormonism Research Ministry has provided its Crash Course Mormonism. Crash Course Mormonism includes concise articles highlighting what LDS leaders and church manuals have taught on issues that will probably come up in a typical conversation. You can find these informative articles at CrashCourseMormonism.com. That's CrashCourseMormonism.com.